May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. We've been talking a little bit this week about our calling and our assignment. Let me read this verse to you from Romans 8, a couple of verses actually. It says in verse 14, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption, as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we're children of God, we're heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God." A couple of verses here that are significant. When he talks about how the Spirit of God is always bearing witness to us about our identity, about who we are and what we have in Christ. I love, we're doing our Bible study on Wednesday nights in Ephesians, and I love what it says. It says, "Formerly you were this and you were far off, but now in Christ you've been brought near," and that's our identity. If you want to know, what is your identity? Your identity is that you're in Christ. You're a man or a woman or a boy or a girl in Christ if you're a Christian. That's your identity. The Holy Spirit's bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children of God, heirs also of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Christ, the Son of God, we being the sons and daughters of God, that we are fellow heirs with Christ, that we, everything that Christ has, we have. Because we're in Christ. We're fellow heirs. We're, as children of God, we're fellow heirs with the Son of God, the child of God. It's amazing. We've told the story before about being an heir or co-heir. If Bill and Amelia and I were inherited a piece of land and we were heirs, then Amelia would get a third and I'd get a third and Bill would get a third. But if we're co-heirs, Amelia owns 100%, I own 100%, Bill owns 100%. You don't get part, you get it all. And as co-heirs with Christ, then everything that Christ is, everything that Christ has, you have because you're in Christ. And he goes on, he says this later in chapter 8, just really familiar verse, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." According to his purpose. And he then describes his purpose. "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." That's interesting language that he uses here. But he says that we are co-heirs with Christ, and everything that Christ has in the Father, in God, we have. Because we're in Christ, because of our union with him. And he says, this is God's purpose, is that we would be conformed to the image of Christ, so we'd be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, we'd be many people that are Christ-like. That Jesus would have a lot of 20s. He'd have a lot of people that are like him in Christ. That's our calling. Our identity is that we're in Christ. Our calling, our purpose, is to be conformed to the image of Christ. I'd even add that our calling is to love God with all of our heart and to be conformed to the image of Christ. It says in Galatians, I've talked about this in a devotional, I've talked about this here, Galatians 4:19, Paul said that he agonized in prayer, or he labored, he was in pain for them in prayer, that Christ would be formed in them. That's a really interesting term, because it's the word that we get the word morph from. It's actually M-O-R-P-H-E. That's the Greek word, morph. And that what he prays here is that the inside of us will be morphed into Christ-likeness. Not by imitation, but because we're in Christ, because he's in us. And that the inside of who we are, and then it would manifest itself on the outside, would be transformed by the very life of Christ. That we would take on more and more. We would morph into the likeness of Christ. That's our calling. Our identities, we're in Christ. And in Christ, we have everything that Jesus has, everything that Jesus is, and that's ours so that we can be morphed into Christ. That's our calling. But here's our assignment again. He talks about the fact that we're co-heirs with Christ. Then he says, "For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God." the whole fallen world. They don't know that's what they're doing. It says that Jesus is the desire of the nations. You are the body of Christ. You aren't Christ, but you're in union with Christ, and you are the body of Christ. And you and I are the only arms through which Christ has, the only hands through which he has to work with, the only lips that he has to speak with, the heart that he has to love with, the mind to think with, the ears to hear with, the eyes to see with. We are the body of Christ. We've been grafted into him. And so not only do I long, was Paul longing for the Galatians from the inside out to be morphed into Christ-likeness, but all creation, all the nations, Jesus is the desire of the nations, all creations longing for us to show up and continue and manifest the fullness of Christ and to bring heaven to earth. That's our assignment. Our identities were in Christ. Our calling is to be conformed to the image of Christ. And our assignment is therefore, as that's happening, to go into the world and manifest the fullness of Christ and continue the ministry of Christ and take back everything the enemy's stolen. Bring heaven to earth in every situation, one person at a time. All of creation is longing for the revealing of the sons of God, of the revealing or the manifestation of people who are in union with Christ, who are being conformed to the image of Jesus. All of creation. All your neighbors, all the people at Winn-Dixie and Walmart, all those broken people, they don't know it, but their brokenness cries out for Jesus to show up and to transform their situation. And as we mentioned yesterday, he says that you've been given the keys. You've been given the keys to the kingdom. And what you bind on earth, he's already bound in heaven at the cross. The enemy's been defeated. What you loose on earth, he's already loosed at the cross. And you and I have the keys. We not only do we have access to everything God has, but we have authority to give access to other people, to the reality of the kingdom. Nobody else does. You and I have the keys. So what's the key to that person who lives next door to you, who's broken? You. You can't wait for somebody else to show up and do it. Don't give it to the professional. It's not the pastor's job. You're a co-heir with Christ. Christ is being formed in you. All creation's waiting for the revealing of those who are in Christ to show up and manifest the fullness of Christ, and in doing that, bring heaven to their earth. If you stand next to somebody else and their back is really hurting them, don't start thinking about who you can get to pray for them, who carries an anointing. You're in Christ. You do something about it. Because you carry you're a co-heir with Christ. Everything that Christ has, you have. So manifest the fullness of Christ. Bring heaven to their situation. You carry the keys. Remember we said that from Nahum, that passage in Nahum 3, it's an amazing passage when it says, speaking of the enemy, the devil, he says, your wound is incurable. And when people hear about that, they'll all clap over your brokenness, because on whom has not your evil passed continually? Well, how are they going to hear it? Who are they going to hear it from? You and me. You and me. Our assignment hasn't changed. We're in Christ, and our assignment's his assignment. What did Jesus do? He went about everywhere and brought heaven to earth, manifesting the fullness of the Father. Well, we're called to manifest the fullness of Christ. And when we do that, we manifest the truth and the fullness of the Father and bring heaven to earth. You're equipped to do it. You're a co-heir with Christ. Everything that Christ has, you have. You're called to be conformed to that image. For Christ to be morphed in you, for you to be transformed into the image of Christ, so that you can go out into the world, manifest his fullness. So that's what the Bible says, that the church is the fullness of him. We're supposed to be. We're a temple that contains his presence, it says in Ephesians 3. And the whole world's longing, the anxious longing of all creation, for Christians to show up and bring Jesus to them. Maybe we've talked about this a lot before. So many charismatics keep praying for God to show up. I've heard that so many times. I think God has shown up. I think he's waiting for you and me to show up. The church is the revival. When the church starts manifesting the fullness of Christ to bring heaven to earth, then revival happens. We're the revival. He's already given us everything we can. We're in Christ. We contain everything Jesus is. Everything necessary for revival, you and I are walking around carriers of revival. And the world's waiting for us to show up. Because when we show up, Jesus shows up. And when Jesus shows up, their world changes because heaven comes to earth. It really isn't any more complicated than that. And it's no more, and you can't get cooler than that. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.